from the Mercy One studio.
Support for Faith on Trial and Iowa Catholic Radio provided in part by Imogene Ingredients.
Our freedom of conscience and religion is being challenged by laws and regulations imposed by secular society. It's time to hear from the top Christian litigators in the nation who have come forward to tell us the truth and help us defend our faith.
Hear ye, hear ye. All rise. Faith on Trial with Defender of the Faith, Deacon Mike Mano, is in session.
And good Thursday morning from the Mercy One studio in West Des Moines. This is Deacon Mike Mano. I'm here with Gina Noe. Good morning, Gina. How are you?
Good morning, Deacon. I'm doing well. Did you celebrate St. Patrick's Day yesterday?
Just a little bit. Not a whole lot. I did wear green.
Good.
Yeah, I did wear some green and went to the gym, and that was about it.
Yeah. No beer.
No.
Not yesterday.
Now, my mother's name is Hennessy, so we've always kind of celebrated because, obviously, you don't get much more Irish than
a Hennessy.
But it was kind of a normal day for me.
And then tomorrow, big celebration for St. Joseph's
Day? And everybody should be aware of this, tomorrow is the solemnity of Joseph, husband of Mary. And as a solemnity, it means that the requirements for fast and abstinent are off tomorrow.
Oh, okay? I see.
So you can have, a solemnity is treated like a Sunday, although it's not a holy day of obligation. So you're not required to fast. So if you want to get up with your bacon and eggs in the morning and have a nice big steak at night for your dinner, you can go ahead and do that tomorrow.
Well, I love fish, so my Fridays during Lent are enjoyable. Mm-hmm. I don't think that was the intent of the fasting.
No, there was a time when the fasting and abstinence included fish and eggs you couldn't eat.
So vegetables and breads.
So it was a little tougher. Now, my parents, when I was growing up, my parents, of course, from the East Coast, from Philadelphia,
right.
They were used to a lot of fresh fish because, you know, the fishmongers would come into the city every Wednesday or so with fresh fish for the Catholics because it was every Friday. So anyway, they liked a lot of fish, and they were made. Of course, they were unhappy that it wasn't quite as fresh as it was in Philadelphia because it'd have to be trucked in.
Yeah, right.
But in any event, they loved it. I never got a hold of it. The problem for me was I just didn't like the taste. I did eat tuna fish, but I have all the memories of all these peanut butter and jelly sandwiches and things like that. But yeah, I never got on it. Now, some of the baked fish that they have at some of these fish fries.
Well, the fish fries are amazing.
Yeah, I'll eat those. But, you only get a little square, and that's enough for me.
Yeah. Especially on a Friday during Lent.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Moderation is very important.
That's right. And Lent, I guess, for a lot of people is a good time to lose weight. I'm not sure that that's actually happening to me, but...
Well, I can tell you after the stories we hear on Faith on Trial on this radio program, prayer and fasting are very important.
That's right. That's right.
For the future of our country and the future of our souls.
Future of a lot of things. That's right. And the weather has now turned different.
Springy.
It's kind of springy, but my thing said 35 degrees or something like that right
now.
So it's cold out there. But I'm still...
We have a couple of dogs at our house this week for families that have gone on their spring vacation.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm telling you what, it's been a miserable week to walk dogs. I like the excuse to walk a dog, but it's so miserable. And the rain, last night it was sleeting.
Mm-hmm.
It's been windy. It's not been the most favorable conditions for dog walking.
Yeah, well, fortunately or unfortunately, as the case may be, we don't have to worry about that anymore. But I do have a cat that I have to take care of, and she always wants to seem to go out. You know, she looks out, she sees the birds at the feeder and all that, wants to go out, but we don't put her out on her own.
No.
She's
an indoor cat.
She's an indoor cat, yeah.
It's a good idea.
Yeah.
So what do we have on the show today?
All right, we're talking to Professor Kevin Miller He's a professor of moral theology at Franciscan University in Steubenville.
We like Franciscan.
And we certainly do. We've had a number of people from Steubenville on the air with us. And we're talking about the reaction to the decree from the Vatican that the Catholic Church cannot bless same-sex unions.
Yeah, that was in the news this week. That was in the news this week. This will be good to have a discussion about that issue.
And it's surprising that it's so controversial.
Oh,
I mean, this is a 2,000-year teaching of the church.
You know, that's exactly what my thoughts were, too. Yeah. And I thought it was just a good way to cancel the Catholic faith.
Yeah.
To make a big issue out of
yeah,
it.
Yeah, I think it is. And Melanie Israel, who is a research associate with the DeVos Center for Religious and Civil Society at the Heritage Foundation, and she's going to be talking about what effect the change of administrations might have on the demand for fetal tissue samples and fetal body parts from aborted babies.
Right, for medical purposes and research purposes, yeah. And who knows what else.
God only knows.
We knew this administration would be very lax on protecting the lives of the unborn, but this is going one step further, and I'll be anxious to hear what Melanie knows about that issue.
Yeah, and it's a shame. You know, this is the premier Catholic layman in the United States who's doing this, you know.
He's right.
The devout Catholic president that we have. So don't know where his head is, but
I'm waiting for that St. Paul moment for him, actually.
Yeah, that where he gets thrown off the horse or whatever, thrown down to the ground.
Well, so that he sees the light.
He sees the light.
In any event.
Do you have a prayer to open us up?
I do. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen. God of peace, bring your peace to our violent world, peace in the hearts of all men and women, and peace among the nations of this earth. Turn to your way of love those whose hearts and minds are consumed with hatred. Strengthen us in hope and give us the wisdom and courage to work tirelessly for a world where true peace and love reign among the nations and in the hearts of all. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Gina. You're listening to Faith on Trial on Iowa Catholic Radio, and we will be back in just a few minutes.
Support for Iowa Catholic Radio and John Leonetti in the Morning is provided by Blessman International. Blessman International partners with volunteers and donors to provide sustainable programs for children in South Africa by leading 12-day all-inclusive experiences, sharing the heart of Christ with vulnerable children in South Africa. Teams are forming to do something significant in an African child's life. Learn more at blessmaninternational.org. Thank you to Blessman International for their support of Iowa Catholic Radio.
Support for Iowa Catholic Radio and John Leonetti in the Morning provided by Bell Construction.
Bell Construction is a roofing company. They specialize in residential re-roofs, light commercial jobs, and have the experience to meet all of your roofing needs with personal service. With Bell Construction, the owner will come to your home or place of business in person to inspect and ensure the quality of work that you deserve. They pride themselves in working with you on a personal basis and making sure you are satisfied. Bell Construction, 515-963-4494. Bell Construction.
Support for Iowa Catholic Radio and Dowling Catholic Sports is provided in part by Ashworth Vision Clinic. With two licensed optometrists, Barbara Sheets, a Dowling graduate, and Dr. Craig Harper, the Ashworth Vision Clinic team provides complete eye exams, contact lenses, glasses, glaucoma testing, and pre- and post-operative care. Ashworth Vision Clinic is located at 60th and Ashworth in West Des Moines. 515-440-4610 or online, ashworthvision.com.
Support for Iowa Catholic Radio and Catholic Women Now provided in part by Permar Security, providing security solutions for homes and businesses since 1953. Permar Security is a Catholic-owned family business supplying security systems, access control systems, video surveillance, fire alarm systems, and video doorbells. All alarm systems are monitored out of their monitoring center located in the state of Iowa. Permar Security, 515-244-5660, permarsecurity.com.
Thank you, Dental Associates, for underwriting Dowling Catholic Sports 365. With over 40 years' experience, Dental Associates is a group dental practice with the mission of promoting optimum health and well-being to all patients, providing preventative, restorative, and cosmetic dentistry for the entire family. Message underwritten by Dr. Kenton Gleichman, Dr. Steve Karbaka, and Dr. Ben Nagel. Dental Associates, addressing your smile, needs, and dreams. Online at Des Moines-DentalAssociates.com.
Support for Iowa Catholic Radio and Faith on Trial provided by Paul Martin and Paul Mitchell, owners of Imogene Ingredients. Imogene Ingredients supply specialized feed ingredients for livestock and pet diets to improve maternal and young animal health in both conventional and organic production. And you're listening to Faith on Trial on Iowa Catholic Radio. Dr. Kevin Miller is professor of moral theology at Franciscan University in Steubenville. Good morning, Doctor. How are you?
Good morning. I'm well, thank you. How are you?
Just fine, just fine. This week, the Vatican dropped what was not a bombshell announcement, but talked about blessing same-sex unions. You want to go over that a little bit with us? Tell us what the whole thing said and what the rationale was?
Sure. So there's been some pressure from a variety of people, perhaps especially German bishops and some German theologians, but from other countries as well, including the United States, wanting the church to not refer to same-sex unions as marriages. Everybody knows that's a complete non-starter, or at least almost everybody does. But rather to offer,
we don't want to make too many assumptions here. There are a lot of people out there with a lot of different ideas about these things.
That's true. Although I think that the I think that the vast majority of people recognize that the church isn't going to call a same-sex union a marriage or matrimony. There are a larger number of people who think that it's possible that under pressure the church might decide to say, okay, we can give a blessing to such unions. We can't call it marriage. We can't call it a sacrament, but we can offer a blessing to it. And part of the rationale offered by those who are pushing for this is the idea that there's more to a same-sex relationship than sexual activity. There might be a genuine component of friendship. There might be forms of mutual care that might be associated with friendship or even with a familial kind of relationship. And the idea is that you can bless the relationship on the grounds that it has those positive elements, despite the fact that it also includes an element that the church clearly teaches and couldn't not teach to be sinful. The problem with that, as the new instruction says, the response to the inquiry that was sent to the Congregation of the Doctrine of the Faith about this, is that in order for something to, in order for you to be able to bless something, it has to be essentially entirely in accord with the plan of God, our Creator and our Savior. That's just the very nature of a blessing, is to take something that's given to us by God, that's good, that by its nature is good, and to, as it were, entrust it in a special way to God so that he can bring out ever more fully the good that's in it. Okay, you can bless a person. We human persons were created good. Indeed, God said after creating man that all that he had made was very good. And yes, that goodness is marred by sin, is distorted by sin. But fundamentally, we remain good our nature, even though that nature is somewhat distorted by sin, and furthermore, it's part of God's plan to restore us to the sheer goodness that we would have had before the fall. So you can bless a person. You can bless food. Food is a gift from God. It's certainly the case that you can kind of accidentally, to use a technical philosophical term, use food in a bad way rather than a good way, like in a gluttonous way, for example. But fundamentally, food is good. God gives it to us for our nourishment. God gives it to us for our delight. Scripture tells us that. So you can bless food. et cetera. I mean, you know, as we know, it can bless all sorts of things. When you're talking about a same-sex relationship, you're talking about a relationship that it just wouldn't be accurate to describe as fundamentally in accordance with God's plan, insofar as that relationship almost certainly, you know, by definition, includes same-sex activity, not in keeping with God's plan, in fact, a sin. And you can't separate that from whatever good elements of, let's say, authentic friendship that the relationship might have, and bless the relationship on account of the good elements and only in spite of the bad elements. That attempt to distinguish between those parts of the relationship and to say that the relationship as a whole can be blessed because it's got some good parts to it, that just doesn't work. And I think it's interesting that the precise wording that the Congregation for the Faith uses in this response to the inquiry, the dubium, is that the Church does not have the power to bless these kinds of relationships.
Let me ask you a question here. I'm sure that, or maybe I'm not sure, that's why I'll ask you. The parties to the same-sex union can individually be blessed, can they not?
Absolutely.
Okay. Then the next question that I would have, and this may cause some more controversy, what about a child of a same-sex union?
Right, that's a challenging question. I vaguely remember that Pope Francis said something about that sometime in fairly recent months. Unfortunately, I don't remember what it was that he said. You can certainly bless the child of a same-sex union, just as you can bless the child of, a non-marital heterosexual union, or a child who was conceived using illicit reproductive technologies, right, et cetera. Okay. The real question comes in when you are wondering whether it's okay to baptize such a child, because the Church says that if you're going to baptize somebody, you're supposed to have, I'm trying to remember the exact wording, I don't have canon law in front of me, but it's something like a well-founded hope that the person will be brought up in the Catholic faith. The Church has not given a ton of detailed guidance for what the criteria are or should be for discerning whether a child whether there's a well-founded hope that a particular child is going to be raised in the Catholic faith. Clearly, a child of a same-sex union, more accurately, of one of the members of the same-sex union, since you, right, you know, biologically you can't have two mothers or two fathers. That's just biology. But a child who's being raised by a couple who are in a same-sex union is going to be taught some things that are contrary to the faith. I mean, clearly the parents or the substitute parents aren't going to say, by the way, we're living in a sinful relationship and you should regard it as sinful and you shouldn't do any such thing yourself. That's, you know, that's totally unrealistic to think that something like that would happen, mm-hmm. Okay? Right. It is certainly, however, possible that a couple might dissent from the Church's teaching, a same-sex couple might dissent from the Church's teaching regarding that particular topic, or maybe regarding sexual morality somewhat more generally, while in nearly all other respects, assent to the teachings of the Church regarding other matters of the faith, regarding the Trinity, regarding Christ, and so on, you know, kind of everything in the creed, if you will. So I personally wouldn't say that you can have absolutely no grounds forever, whatever, for thinking that a child in this situation isn't going to be raised in some meaningful sense in the Catholic faith, even though I think it's pretty abundantly clear that the child is going to be taught that some of the tenets of the faith are wrong. By example, certainly by example, and probably by words as well. On the other hand, in general, when the church baptizes a child, when parents bring a child to be baptized, the church asks, are you going to raise this child a Catholic? The church doesn't inquire in detail regarding the parents' adherence to everything that the church teaches as being either part of or in some way pertaining to or an extension of the faith. Yeah. That's why, when it comes to this particular question, I'm really glad I'm merely a moral theologian and not a pastor or a bishop, because ultimately they're the ones entrusted by canon law with making this act of discernment and this decision about what to do in that kind of case.
I wouldn't want that job.
Yeah,
I had a case a couple of years ago. A couple came for marriage prep, and they were marginally Catholic. She had been baptized as a Catholic and was coming to our church only because her mother wanted her to. And so she wasn't a practicing Catholic. I guess, as I recall now, the bride or the bridegroom was not Catholic. And when I asked the question about children and raising them in the faith, she said she couldn't make that promise. And so I turned them away. I said, I can't marry you, and reported that right away to my pastor at the time, who said that was the right decision.
I think that's pretty clearly the right decision in that case.
On the other hand, I've had babies presented to me by single parents who want the babies baptized, and I've always taken the position that it's not the baby's fault where he or she is at right now, and I go ahead with the baptism. Many times the father is there too, and eventually maybe they get together and do get married. But
my feeling on that has always been that baptism is filling this child with the Holy Spirit, and what better gift to that family to see the light than to have the Holy Spirit living in their own home through their own child?
Right. Yeah, you clearly want, according to the church's theology of baptism, you clearly want, as I said, a hope, and not just a grasping at straws kind of hope, but a real hope, that the child's going to be brought up in such a way that those graces will be able to produce their proper effects, will be able to bear fruit, which is why, if a couple comes to you and says, we don't believe nearly anything that the church teaches, we just want to have this child baptized because we like the ritual or because our families expect us to or something, then I think the right thing to do is to say no, but not just to say no, but to say no, but I invite you to reconsider your stance with regard to the Catholic faith. I would like it very much if you and your children together could be brought into the fullness of the life of the church by whatever kind of conversion or reconversion is necessary on the parents' part, and baptism of the child. So you have to put it not just negatively but positively. But I also very much agree that the church just doesn't take the position. It's just not a plausible interpretation of canon law to say that because a child is the child of a single parent, therefore the child shouldn't be baptized. I mean, that's just not right. And obviously there are single parents who, find themselves in that position for any of a number of reasons, possibly reasons that aren't in any way their own fault, and who, are absolutely faithful Catholics and fully intend to raise their children as Catholics and do a pretty heroic job of doing so, given the difficulties of single parenthood.
Yeah.
So that can't be the criteria.
Yeah, give a lot of these people the benefit of the doubt when these cases come up. But let's get back to the same-sex union thing and the statement from the Vatican. I've seen a lot of criticism of that statement, especially from, as you suggest, Germany. They seem to be progressing a little further than the rest of us want to go on this. But a lot of these people are criticizing the church for not bringing its teachings up to date, that somehow a 2,000-year history of teaching on this subject is going to vanish.
But I'm
concerned that there are some churches, like the German church you referred to, that may be working their way toward a schism.
Yeah, that's certainly something to be worried about. I don't see the entire German church going into schism. There are some good bishops in Germany, even if they're, you know, perhaps in the minority. And there are some authentically faithful Catholics in Germany. Last time I was in Germany, I attended Sunday Mass at the cathedral in Munich, the Frauenkirche, the Church of Our Lady. And the Cardinal Archbishop of Munich is, of course, someone who has a problematic relationship with mm-hmm. the Church's doctrine. The priest who celebrated the Mass gave a beautiful homily. The music was outstanding. The church was not barren. It wasn't just my wife and I and a few other tourists or something like that. It was pretty full. So I don't want to overstate the degree to which the church in Germany has been devastated, or whatever word you want to use. But clearly there are problems there. You are, I think, absolutely right that people like to talk about the need to bring various doctrines, quote, up to date, unquote. The problem, the most basic problem, I mean, there's a bunch of problems with saying that, one of which is just that, you know, that's not what the church is about. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever, and he's the head of the church. But an even more basic problem is that, you know, kind of what counts as up to date, according to whom, up to date, you know, in what part of the world, in what culture, what some German bishop considers up to date, might easily be considered, a horrible, perversion of society and potentially of the faith also by, let's say, an African bishop or an Indian bishop. So it's a criterion that's almost meaningless. Furthermore, I think...
Well, I think up-to-date means up-to-date with a permissive society.
Well, yeah, but why? I mean, why mm-hmm. why is that the criterion for up-to-date? Furthermore, I mean, almost everybody agrees that culture changes, at least sometimes, in negative ways rather than in positive ways. My strong suspicion, for example, to take a case that has nothing to do with sexual morality, my strong suspicion is that there are an awful lot of Catholics out there, probably a greater percentage of Catholics than would have been the case, say, in the 1930s, who think that the church's clear teaching regarding what count as just forms of warfare is somehow outdated, that we should allow for forms of warfare, forms of conduct in warfare that the church has, you know, always said are absolutely not morally acceptable, absolutely contrary to the moral law. Should the church bring her understanding of just war criteria, quote, up to date, as up to date would be defined by those who want a more permissive teaching regarding what counts as just or fair ways of conducting war? You know, interestingly, I think most of those Catholics who want the church to, quote, update, unquote, her teaching regarding sexual morality would say, well, you know, no, of course not. It's horrible that we have Catholics who are, you know, kind of leading the church astray by convincing their fellow Catholics that, you know, mass attacks on civilians are okay, or the torture of prisoners is okay, or whatever. So the whole concept of the criteria for doctrine should be what is, quote, up to date, unquote, is just absolutely meaningless. It leads to, you know, contradictions. Same, you know, some people who would say one thing counts as up to date would say that, you know, a different thing doesn't, and then other people would take the exact opposite position. It's just not workable. It's never been the way the church has thought, and it just leads to crazy results.
Yeah. One other example I was thinking of while you were talking is the argument over the death penalty, with updates in penal technology and in the ability of governments to be able to separate certain people from society permanently. You can see where people might make the argument that it's no longer needed anymore. But
right.
Those are questions above my pay grade, I guess. But,
right. Yeah, that's a huge topic. Yeah. That in fact was the topic of my doctoral dissertation. And the couple hundred pages I wrote on that were a fraction of what one could potentially write by way of analysis of the, you know, kind of the history of the church's teaching on that.
We'll have to have you back.
Yeah,
to
that's
talk
what
about
I was just
that.
Thinking.
Yeah.
That's going to be a good topic.
Have me on for a couple hours sometime. I can try to talk about that.
That's good. Well, speaking of putting you on for a couple hours, we're pretty much out of time right now, but we do want to thank you for joining us today. I appreciate your comments on the subject. And we want to talk about that dissertation that you have.
All right. Anytime you want, you know how to reach out to me.
All right. Kevin Miller, professor of moral theology at Franciscan University in Steubenville. And you're listening to Faith on Trial on Iowa Catholic Radio. Gene and I will be back right after these messages.
Support for Iowa Catholic Radio and Dowling Catholic Sports is provided in part by Ashworth Vision Clinic. With two licensed optometrists, Barbara Sheets, a Dowling graduate, and Dr. Craig Harper, the Ashworth Vision Clinic team provides complete eye exams, contact lenses, glasses, glaucoma testing, and pre- and post-operative care. Ashworth Vision Clinic is located at 60th and Ashworth in West Des Moines. 515-440-4610 or online, ashworthvision.com.
Support for Iowa Catholic Radio and Catholic Women Now provided in part by Permar Security, providing security solutions for homes and businesses since 1953. Permar Security is a Catholic-owned family business supplying security systems, access control systems, video surveillance, fire alarm systems, and video doorbells. All alarm systems are monitored out of their monitoring center located in the state of Iowa. Permar Security, 515-244-5660, permarsecurity.com.
Thank you, Dental Associates, for underwriting Dowling Catholic Sports 365. With over 40 years' experience, Dental Associates is a group dental practice with the mission of promoting optimum health and well-being to all patients, providing preventative, restorative, and cosmetic dentistry for the entire family. Message underwritten by Dr. Kenton Gleichman, Dr. Steve Karbaka, and Dr. Ben Nagel. Dental Associates, addressing your smile, needs, and dreams. Online at DesMoines-DentalAssociates.com.
Support for Iowa Catholic Radio and John Leonetti in the Morning is provided by Five Sons Naturescapes. Five Sons Naturescapes is a Catholic veteran-owned family company, providing premium outdoor landscaping, clean up and restore outdoor living space with retaining walls, privacy fencing, pergolas, paver sidewalks, and patios. Issues with soil settling and water around the foundation and yard? Five Sons Naturescapes can grade and install drainage tile to help. Five Sons Naturescapes online at fivesonsnaturescapes.com.
What is the best gift ever? Giving a Catholic education is at the top of my list. Your contribution to CTO helps families send their children to our Catholic schools who otherwise could not afford it. In giving to CTO, you receive the best tax credits ever. Pledge or donate online at ctoiowa.org. The bottom line, it's for the kids and their future.
Here's your forecast on Iowa Catholic Radio. High pressure is moving in from the west, and that'll give us a fair weather pattern for the next few days. Sunshine and about 50 for the afternoon, but the wind will stay gusty at around 30 miles an hour. Overnight looks clear with our low in the upper 20s, and then we're in the mid-50s tomorrow with sunshine. The weather is brought to you by Divine Treasures, a Catholic book and gift store serving the Des Moines community for over 25 years. I'm meteorologist Steve Hamilton on Iowa Catholic Radio.
Back. You're listening to Faith on Toronto, Iowa Catholic Radio. And with us right now is Melanie Israel, who is a research associate with the DeVos Center for Religion and Civil Society at the Heritage Foundation. Good morning, Melanie. How are you?
Good morning. I'm doing well. Thank you for having me.
Good. No problem. No, thank you for coming. We have, I think, a reputation of treating our guests well. So
I think so. Yeah. Yes.
Thank you.
So, we won't give you any hard questions or anything. But what we do want to talk about is this idea that there may be a surge in the use of tissues from aborted children and their bodily parts being harvested for scientific research.
Right, right. And to give everybody kind of a recap, this is one of the great victories from the Trump administration. They put an end to internal government research using fetal tissue from aborted children. They also implemented a process for external research being done outside of the government lab to be subject to a review board. And they actually ended up largely rejecting those many proposals that came before them. And so that was great progress. They made a lot of money available to more ethical alternatives for this research that doesn't require the destruction of innocent unborn life. And unfortunately, with the new administration hostile to the right to life coming into power and potentially Javier Becerra being confirmed as the Secretary of the Department of Health and Human Services today, those victories, unfortunately, are probably going to be rolled back.
Now, he was always opposed to this ethics advisory panel that the Bush administration, or that the Trump administration had tried to get moving.
Right, right. And it's the sort of thing, this ethics advisory panel, it's something that Congress has authorized, but in previous administrations, it wasn't being used. And so it was really encouraging that the Trump administration convened that panel and had them look at each of these different proposals on the merits with scientific experts from across a wide range of fields looking at all of these proposals. And again, they largely rejected them because there are ethical alternatives out there that the scientific community can turn to that doesn't require destroying innocent human life.
Now, there's been some talk about a humanized mouse, a lung-only mouse. Are you familiar with that?
I've done some reading about this, and it's not the only kind of, I guess, project, for lack of a better term, that this fetal tissue from aborted children is being used for. It is something that in the news lately because it's been associated with different studies that relate to the COVID-19 virus,
right,
which of course is at the forefront of everybody's minds. But the use of fetal tissue research is not limited to this context. It's something that's been going on for many, many years. And one of the things that we've been trying to do at the Heritage Foundation and our friends across the pro-life movement is to help people understand that there are ethical alternatives, superior science that's producing better results, that's actually providing cures for different diseases and ailments that doesn't require fetal tissue. And it's because there's still this, until very recently, stream of funding for fetal tissue research. The scientific community is just kind of used to going with what they know. And so until the Trump administration made those changes, they just really didn't have much incentive to do things differently.
I often wondered if the use of the fetal tissue from aborted children is a faster, easier way for researchers to do their work in comparison to the alternatives, or less expensive way?
Yeah, this is one of the things we brought in some scientists for an event at the Heritage Foundation a couple of years ago, and it's still available online if anybody is interested in watching the full hour presentation. But one of the things these doctors got into is why the scientific community relies so heavily on this research, and so much of it has to do with just that institutional bias. It's how they've always done things. It's what they're used to. People aren't really necessarily exposed to all of these different alternatives. And again, there's just been this constant stream of funding for fetal tissue research. And so there hasn't been that incentive within the community to try to do things differently. And I think now, particularly with the COVID-19 vaccines being so much of a topic of conversation, people are really talking a lot more about, you know, wait a minute, are there more ethical ways to do this? And so it's encouraging that people are having those conversations, but there's a lot of work to be done in the scientific community to just kind of change this really decades of a bias towards doing things one way.
Yeah. So tell us that website, how we can see that discussion.
Sure. So we have it available at heritage.org. I can't remember off the top of my head the full title, but it was essentially, if you search through our event, a discussion about fetal tissue research and ethical alternatives. And we also post those on our Heritage Foundation YouTube page.
Okay. I'll take a look for
That'd
that.
Be fine. Thank
you.
The reason why I ask you about the lung issue, the lung mice, is apparently when people are doing research using an aborted stem cell line, they can regenerate that, or they can produce more of what they need from that line. With these lung-only mice, what they are doing is they're using something from the stem cells or from the cells of an aborted fetus, but they can only use it once. Once they use it, it's done. It has to be thrown out. And so they keep needing more and more, dead babies to produce the growth that they need to be able to do their experiments or their inquiry.
Exactly. These types of research experiments, they just inherently, by their nature, they create a constant demand for more abortions so they can continue sourcing those materials. And that is an important distinction to separate discussions about research using cell lines that were at one point obtained from an abortion many years ago. And, you know, in a lab, those are essentially able to constantly regenerate. And so that is something that is not requiring constant, ongoing, continued abortions. Whereas when you're talking about research utilizing fresh fetal tissue, that does require constant, continued, ongoing abortions and just helps, again, continue this supply and demand cycle.
Yeah, and Avr Becerra, as Attorney General of California, and now the designated be Secretary of Health Health and Human Services, was one of the people that was prosecuting David DeLeiden, who was exposing the cell sales by Planned Parenthood, the body part sales.
Exactly. Instead of taking, you know, the multiple criminal and regulatory referrals for organizations like Planned Parenthood and these fetal tissue procurement companies, instead of paying attention to those coming from congressional committees, he went after the citizen journalist who exposed these injustices in the first place. And I think it's also worth remembering the fact that David DeLeiden brought this injustice to light actually led to the closure and a settlement of one of those tissue procurement companies in Orange County, because authorities there at the local level saw that something illegal was going on and took action. Whereas, as the state attorney general, Javier Becerra, he did the opposite and went after the man who brought these injustices to light.
That's not a good sign for the future of his division and his protections under the Health and Human Services Department.
Yeah, assuming his confirmation, where do we see this all going in the near future?
You know, unfortunately, Becerra has proven himself to be a very partisan culture warrior. And so, unfortunately, I think we're going to see many of those pro-life Trump administration victories rolled back. You know, whether it's good regulations promoting pro-life policies, things like disallowing abortion providers from receiving Title X family planning funds, things like the moral and religious exemptions to Obamacare's contraception mandate, and also these policies restricting fetal tissue research and federal funding for those projects. All of those Trump administration victories now stand to be rolled back. And I think this is going to be very unfortunate waters for everyone to have to navigate in the years to come. And while, you know, we might not necessarily have pro-life personnel in these government agencies making these pro-life policy decisions, within the pro-life movement more broadly, we can still work to help educate the American people about things like fetal tissue research and what those ethical alternatives are and why it matters that we have ethical science to produce things like COVID-19 vaccines.
Yeah, and getting back to Becerra here, he was one of the ones that was continuing to pursue the Little Sisters of the Poor and denying them their religious conscience rights to decline to do certain procedures and to provide certain drugs to their employees.
Exactly, exactly. It's definitely discouraging that if confirmed, he would be the person within HHS able to, you know, essentially call the shots with those exemptions. And it it's going to be an unfortunate reality here for the next several years. And I hope it's a good reminder to everyone that, that personnel is policy. And it, yeah, of course, matters who our elected officials are, but it also matters who they're choosing, yeah, to staff the government, because that's so important too.
Melanie, I want to thank you for joining us today. Unfortunately, we're out of time, but we'll follow up with this conversation more and have you back again.
Great. Well, thank you so much for the conversation.
Thank you for joining us. And you're listening to Faith on Trial on Iowa Catholic Radio. And Gina and I will be right back after these messages.
Support for Iowa Catholic Radio and Catholic Women Now provided in part by Permar Security, providing security solutions for homes and businesses since 1953. Permar Security is a Catholic-owned family business supplying security systems, access control systems, video surveillance, fire alarm systems, and video doorbells. All alarm systems are monitored out of their monitoring center located in the state of Iowa. Permar Security, 515-244-5660, permarsecurity.com.
Support for Iowa Catholic Radio and Dowling Catholic Sports is provided in part by Ashworth Vision Clinic. With two licensed optometrists, Barbara Sheets, a Dowling graduate, and Dr. Craig Harper, the Ashworth Vision Clinic team provides complete eye exams, contact lenses, glasses, glaucoma testing, and pre- and post-operative care. Ashworth Vision Clinic is located at 60th and Ashworth in West Des Moines. 515-440-4610 or online, ashworthvision.com.
Thank you, Dental Associates, for underwriting Dowling Catholic Sports 365. With over 40 years' experience, Dental Associates is a group dental practice with the mission of promoting optimum health and well-being to all patients, providing preventative, restorative, and cosmetic dentistry for the entire family. Message underwritten by Dr. Kenton Gleichman, Dr. Steve Karbaka, and Dr. Ben Nagel. Dental Associates, addressing your smile, needs, and dreams. Online at DesMoines-DentalAssociates.com.
Support for Iowa Catholic Radio and John Leonetti in the Morning is provided by Five Sons Naturescapes. Five Sons Naturescapes is a Catholic veteran-owned family company, providing premium outdoor landscaping. Clean up and restore outdoor living space with retaining walls, privacy fencing, pergolas, paver sidewalks, and patios. Issues with soil settling and water around the foundation and yard? 5 Cents Naturescapes can grade and install drainage tile to help. 5 Cents Naturescapes online at 5centsnaturescapes.com.
What is the best gift ever? Giving a Catholic education is at the top of my list. Your contribution to CTO helps families send their children to our Catholic schools who otherwise could not afford it. In giving to CTO, you receive the best tax credits ever. Pledge or donate online at ctoiowa.org. The bottom line, it's for the kids and their future.
Thank you, Skeffington's Formal Wear, for sponsoring Dowling Catholic High School football. In business since 1951, Skeffington's Formal Wear offers quality service, style, and selection, providing tuxedos, suits, and casual groom attire for weddings, proms, and any other special occasion. Skeffington's Formal Wear, with convenient locations in Des Moines, West Des Moines, Davenport, Coralville, and Ankeny. All locations are family-owned and operated by members in their respective communities, fitting you for life celebrations. Online at skeffingtons.com.
And we're back. You're listening to Faith and Tom. I'm Catholic Radio, Gina. Another couple of interesting topics today.
Well, like I said, every time we do this show, I learn something new about my faith, about society, about science, about the culture. And
we're going to charge you tuition to come in here.
That's exactly. Things that are very helpful to me to better understand what I'm hearing in the news and hearing amongst my peers. For instance, I think it's important for us all to remember that when we talked to Melanie from the DeVos Center for Religious and Civil Society at the Heritage Foundation, and she explained how, you know, David DeLeiden has been in the news for uncovering the sale of baby fetal tissue or baby parts.
Aborted baby parts, yeah.
And used for their parts. She told us that because of the local authorities, those centers were shut down. And you don't hear a lot about that. You hear more about how the California Attorney General came after David DeLeiden and started prosecuting him. So it's a good reminder to all of us to stay in contact with our local authorities and let them know how you feel about these kinds of issues, whether it be your legislator or your mayor or your city council person. So that's important. That was a good lesson from today's show. Right.
And all this stuff works up. In other words, the people that we have on our city councils and boards of supervisors today are tomorrow's legislators and the next day's senators and congressmen or judges, as the case may be.
Right.
And I think it's important to let them know where we stand right now.
Right. Because in a lot of ways you are defending the faith by expressing, and in America it's a great place because we can express our opinions and our values
to
the people who represent us.
At least now. At least right now. They're working.
At least locally.
Yeah, they're working to remove that, but we'll.
Yeah. Well, and that's a whole nother show, right?
And then, we got a whole lot of shows in what's going on now.
Exactly. The attacks against people of faith are heavy and furious at this moment in our part of the world. The other observation I would make is that when we're talking about the recent news story about the Vatican explicitly saying that blessing civil unions between homosexual couples is prohibited by the Catholic Church. And in the same way that the Catholic Church won't marry a couple who's been living together. You know, if you're living with your fiancé, the church won't accept that relationship either. It reminds me that the church is in the business of saving our souls. And while we talk about what they won't do, I think it's more important to talk about what they do encourage us to do, you know, to do the right thing, that marriage is a sacrament for the purpose of procreating and in union with the creation. And highlighting the things that the church encourages us to do to save our soul, to keep us healthy, to bring us into union with God at the end of our lives is more important than talking about what we cannot do.
Right. And the funny thing to me was that there was so much criticism over this, especially in the United States, and yet it should not have come as a surprise to anybody that the church was going to say this, because it's been saying the same thing for 2,000 years.
Well, I held back my giggles and laughs when we talk about why isn't the church coming into uniformity with the culture, mm-hmm. as if this whole trend is something brand new in history.
Yeah.
And when we all know that this is cyclical, and homosexuality and gay relationships have been promoted throughout history in all different parts of the world.
Right. Yeah, and I suppose they take that into consideration too, but it's always been opposed by the church.
And the church has always had the same stance.
Always had the same
stance.
Save
the soul and follow the word of God.
Mm-hmm. Right. Love the sinner, hate the sin.
Exactly, mm-hmm. exactly. Mm-hmm. And while some sins are greater than others, I think we're all in the same boat in terms of being sinners.
That's right, we are. And right now we're on the same boat as being pretty much out of time.
Oh, so. Well, that's the end of the show then. Yes, let's wrap
it up. So let's end with our prayer to St. Michael. St. Michael the Archangel, defend us in battle, be our protection against the wickedness and snares of the devil. May God rebuke him, we humbly pray, and do thou, Prince of the Heavenly Host, by the power of God, thrust into hell Satan and all the evil spirits who prowl about the world, seeking the ruin of souls.
Amen.
Amen. Remember, tomorrow is a solemnity. All abstinence and fasting has been eliminated, so you can go have your bacon and eggs first thing in the morning.
You don't have to.
You can still fast and pray, but you don't have to do that.
That's right.
Anyway, that's it for today. For Gene and myself, thank you for listening. Until next week and our next edition of Faith on Trial on Iowa Catholic Radio. Till then, have a blessed and peaceful, and I'm tongue-tied, you know, trumping over everything here. But anyway, we'll be back next week. Have a blessed and peaceful time. Till then, bye-bye.
Our freedom of conscience and religion is being challenged by laws and regulations imposed by secular society. Faith on Trial with Defender of the Faith, Deacon Mike Mano. Faith on Trial, Thursdays at 10 a.m. on Iowa Catholic Radio, iowacatholicradio.com, and the Iowa Catholic Radio app.
Support for Faith on Trial and Iowa Catholic Radio provided in part by Imogene Ingredients.